Amen, what the word means in the Bible, and why it is more than a prayer ending. Most Christians learn to say Amen before they learn what it means. It closes prayers, answers a blessing, and sometimes becomes the warmest word in a worship service. Because it is so familiar, however, it can become almost invisible, a religious period placed at the end of a sentence. The Bible gives the word much more weight. Amen can affirm that something is true. Accept the seriousness of a covenant word, join a community's praise, or express confidence in God's faithfulness. Jesus also uses it in an arresting way, not merely after a statement, but before one, "Truly, I say to you." Revelation even names Jesus the Amen. So, what does Amen mean in the Bible? At its simplest, it means something like truly, certainly, or may it be so. Yet its biblical force is not captured by a single English substitute. To say Amen is to place yourself behind what has been said. This is reliable. I receive it. Let this be true among us. The Hebrew meaning of Amen, the Hebrew word is Amen. The Blue Letter Bible entry presenting Strong's and Brown Driver Briggs material identifies it as an adverb related to the Hebrew verb aman, a word family associated with firmness, reliability, and faithfulness. In different contexts, amen can be represented in English as truly, so be it, or simply amen. That relationship is illuminating, but it should be handled carefully. A word's root does not pour every possible idea into every verse. We do not discover a secret theology merely by listing related words. The sentence, speaker, audience, and literary setting still decide what Amen is doing. The safest summary is this. Biblical Amen is a word of confirmation. It recognizes the truth or seriousness of what has been spoken, and, depending on the context, expresses agreement, desire, or commitment. Amen is not a magical formula. So be it can sound like a verbal mechanism for making a wish come true. That is not how Scripture presents the word. Amen does not force God to endorse our plans. It is not a spiritual seal that turns any request into a promise. Biblical prayer begins with God's character and submits human desire to God's wisdom. Saying Amen faithfully, therefore, includes humility. Let this be so, according to your truth and will. The word expresses trust, not control. Nor does Amen mean that the person speaking has perfect understanding or flawless faith. In Scripture, it is often a response made by dependent people. Its strength lies not in the speaker's certainty about self, but in the reliability of the God being addressed. Amen, as serious assent in the Old Testament. One of the clearest Old Testament patterns appears in Deuteronomy 27:15-26. As covenant warnings are announced, all the people are instructed to answer Amen. Here the word is not a cheerful conclusion. It is public assent to the justice and seriousness of God's covenant instruction. That setting protects Amen from becoming cheap religious enthusiasm. The people are not merely saying, "I enjoyed that." Their response acknowledges that the word they have heard has a claim on them. The same gravity appears in Nehemiah 5:13. After Nehemiah confronts economic exploitation and calls leaders to return what they have taken, the assembly says Amen, praises the Lord, and then does what it promised. Their response is completed by action. An Amen that never reaches conduct is unfinished. This gives Christians a needed question. When I say Amen to a prayer for justice, reconciliation, generosity, or mercy, am I also willing to live in the direction of that prayer? The word is not a substitute for obedience. It can be a pledge to receive God's truth honestly. Amen as the people's answer to praise. The Old Testament also places amen in gathered worship. In Nehemiah 8:6, Ezra blesses the Lord, and the people answer, "Amen, amen," lifting their hands and bowing in worship. The scene joins scripture, explanation, communal response, and embodied reverence. An academic discussion of the public reading scene in Nehemiah 8 highlights that the people do not merely hear the scroll opened. They stand, respond to the blessing, and receive help understanding what is read. Their amen belongs within attentive participation. Other Old Testament examples show the same responsive shape. In 1 Chronicles 16:36, the people answer amen after a doxology. Several major sections of the Psalms close with amen. Psalm 41:13, Psalm 72:19, and Psalm 106:48. These responses do more than signal that the prayer is over. They let worshipers make the praise their own. The historical Jewish Encyclopedia article on amen traces its use as an affirmation and as a congregational response in Jewish worship. Christians should remember this Jewish, scriptural, and liturgical setting. The church did not invent amen as a Christian catchphrase. The New Testament receives a word already at home in Israel's scriptures and worship. A communal word, not only a private one. Many modern prayers are experienced individually, even when spoken in a room full of people. Biblical amen reminds us that prayer can have a shared voice. Someone offers praise, confession, thanksgiving, or petition. Others listen and freely join it. That is why attention matters. Saying amen is not merely announcing that the speaker has stopped. It means we have heard enough to respond truthfully. We should not affirm words we did not understand, and we should never pressure someone to affirm a prayer that violates conscience or disguises manipulation. Why Jesus says amen before he speaks? In much of the Old Testament and in ordinary worship, amen looks backward. It responds to words already spoken. Jesus repeatedly places it at the beginning of his own statements. English Bibles commonly translate the phrase, "Truly I say to you." For example, in Matthew 5:18, Jesus begins with amen before speaking about the enduring significance of God's instruction. In John 3:3, he says, "Amen, amen," before teaching Nicodemus about seeing the kingdom of God. In John 5:24, the doubled phrase introduces a promise about hearing, believing, and passing from death to life. The Bible Gateway, Encyclopedia of the Bible Overview, distinguishes these uses. The Synoptic Gospels repeatedly preserve Jesus' introductory amen, while John characteristically doubles it. Amen, amen, often translated truly, truly, or very truly. Jesus is not asking someone else to validate his statement before he speaks. He introduces it with his own solemn confirmation. The phrase alerts the hearer. What follows deserves careful attention because Jesus stands behind it. This does not mean every teaching introduced by amen is easy to understand. Jesus uses the phrase before promises, warnings, reversals, and calls to discipleship. Truly is not the same as comfortably. His reliable word may console us, confront us, or do both, the amen of God and the amen of the church. Paul draws amen into a rich statement about God's faithfulness in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, he says that God's promises find their yes in Christ, and therefore believers say the amen through Christ to the glory of God. The verse holds two movements together. God acts first. God is faithful to the divine promises in Christ. The church responds, amen. Christian confidence does not begin with the intensity of our affirmation. It begins with God's yes. Our amen is an answering word. This also guards the verse from misuse. Paul is not promising that every private ambition will receive divine approval. In context, he is defending the reliability of his ministry by pointing beyond himself to God's faithfulness. The promises are God's, their fulfillment is in Christ, and the glory returns to God. Paul's teaching about gathered worship adds another dimension. In 1 Corinthians 14:16, he asks how another person can say amen to a thanksgiving if that person does not understand what is being said. Whatever one's tradition believes about spiritual gifts, Paul's pastoral concern is plain. Worship should build up other people. A communal amen requires intelligibility. Why Revelation calls Jesus the Amen. In Revelation 3:14, Jesus identifies himself to the church in Laodicea as the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Here, Amen is not only something Jesus says, it functions as a title. The following phrase helps explain the title. Jesus is the faithful and true witness. His testimony is dependable. His evaluation of the church is not distorted by flattery, fear, or ignorance. That is bracing in a passage where the Laodiceans misjudge their own condition, but it is also hopeful. The one who exposes their need also counsels them, loves them, and calls them to repent. The title may also echo Isaiah 65:16, where the Hebrew expression can be rendered the God of truth, or more literally, the God of Amen. Translation choices vary, so the connection should not be pressed beyond what the texts support. Still, both passages join Amen with divine reliability. Calling Jesus the Amen does not reduce him to an abstract concept. Revelation presents him as the living, faithful witness whose words can be trusted. Christians say Amen because their hope rests finally in someone faithful. How to say Amen with understanding? The Bible's use of Amen suggests several practices. Listen before you answer. Hear the prayer, blessing, teaching, or promise. An honest Amen is attentive. Ask what you are affirming. Are you agreeing that something is true, joining a request, receiving a warning, or praising God? Let assent become action. Nehemiah's assembly followed its Amen by keeping its promise. Where a prayer calls for faithfulness, take the next faithful step. Leave control with God. Amen entrusts the request to God. It does not compel God to perform our preferred outcome. Make room for the community. Pray intelligibly and without manipulation so others can join freely and truthfully. Rest your confidence in God's character. Your voice may tremble. The strength of prayer is not the volume of its ending, but the faithfulness of the one who hears. There are moments when Amen will sound joyful, and moments when it will be spoken through tears. Scripture has room for both. A grieving believer may say, Amen, not because pain has become good, but because God remains trustworthy within pain. A repentant believer may say, it not because change is easy, but because Christ's truthful word is better than self-deception, more than the end of a prayer. What does Amen mean in the Bible? It is a compact word of truth, trust, assent, and hope. In Israel's scriptures, it can accept a covenant word, answer praise, or unite a worshiping people. On Jesus' lips, it solemnly introduces teaching that bears his own authority. In the church, it becomes a shared response to God's faithfulness in Christ. In Revelation, it names Jesus as the faithful and true witness. The next time you say Amen, you do not need to make the moment dramatic. Simply refuse to let the word be empty. Listen. Mean what you can honestly mean. Submit what you cannot control. And place your confidence where Scripture places it, not in the perfection of your prayer, but in the faithfulness of God. This article was written and narrated by Ezra, Feazin's editorial study assistant. Ezra is an AI.